Welcome to Outdoors Radio, brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource, on the web at lake-link.com, by Hupe and Abraham, a powerful law firm with a proven record of large settlements, on the web at hupe.com, and by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. You can find them on the web at dnr.wi.gov. I'm Dan Small. I'm here with Jeff Kelman. Jeff, according to your Facebook page, you got a story to tell.
Absolutely. I managed to get out last weekend, and I got myself a 6-point buck with the new Forge bow.
Not bad.
And, he came into an estrus bleat, a can call.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I had a couple of does, actually, that had come out earlier, and they were kind of curious as to the sound, but not enough to come closer. And he came out. I thought I heard a grunt is what I actually thought I heard before he came out.
Very possible, sure.
And so that really kind of drew my attention to the area that he walked out. Sure enough, 3 to 4 minutes later, he walks out. He comes out. He's looking around for a little while. I roll the can over a couple of times, and he's trying to pinpoint where the sound's actually coming from. It was kind of a gustier wind, and so I was trying to play that wind, you know, so that doing it when it was a little more calm, he could kind of pinpoint it a bit better.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you're in a tree, right?
I'm in a tree, yeah. And he's in the perfect wind condition at that point, or wind position, rather. He freshens a scrape before he comes over and even starts to look for anything. It was really cool to sit there and watch that.
Yeah.
And then he walks out to the north of me and looks out into this open alfalfa field. I couldn't see any deer out there, and apparently he didn't either because he didn't keep venturing that direction. He came back from where he started, and I thought he was going back into the swamp. And I figured, all right, well, I'll keep rolling the can call every now and then and see what happens. Well, he decides to go back north towards the field he originally went to, and then he walks up our main lane. And while he's doing that, I'm thinking, wait a second, the wind is blowing my scent right to that main lane, and that main lane is only 15 yards away from me. And it's kind of up a hill, so we end up being absolutely parallel with each other.
Yeah.
And he didn't care. He ended up getting around a large oak, and he could see the does in the field off to the west of me.
Okay.
And that's all he cared about. He started walking in that direction. He walked diagonally right in front of me, about 15 yards. I drew on him. He turned just a little bit to face the does a bit more, so he's quartering away, maybe a bit more than I really wanted him to, but could still see the vitals, and I put the pin on him and let the arrow fly. He ran into a barbed wire fence like it was a brick wall.
Wow.
Never jumped, never ducked, nothing.
Yeah.
He kind of rolled through that, made a 40-yard loop into the field, ran back down towards our swamp. He never made it. He landed right on our tractor path. We went and picked him up.
Well, that's handy.
Yeah. Found my arrow, the Forge bow, and the Slipstream arrows. Absolutely fantastic. They did the job. It was awesome. Awesome to get my first year with the bow, and to have some headgear on it, it's even better.
Oh, very nice. So, now, you use scent killer, so chances are that helped.
It helped. It had to have helped a little bit, but I do think his mind was somewhere else. I mean,
sure.
This is
sure.
That time of the season where you can get those bucks
because
they're not thinking normal.
Especially,
you know,
a young buck like that, you know.
So we'll post pictures on the newsletter.
Absolutely.
And there'll be pictures on my Facebook page and stuff like that for people to check out, too. It's absolutely fantastic.
That's cool.
I'm so excited. And then, so we cut that deer up, last weekend right away.
Right.
Earlier this week, my dad is driving down towards Sheboygan. He lives in the Marshfield area. He's driving down towards Sheboygan. About 6:30 in the morning, he hits a deer near Ripon.
Get out of here.
And he calls me up at work, and he's like, well, I just hit a doe. It's dead. Do you want it? I was like,
of course.
I'll take it. Yeah. You know, throw it in the back of the truck. His truck is still drivable, still able to make it. Both headlights, he hit it square on, dead center of the grill.
Oh, boy.
And so he's got some damage to the truck, but nothing structural. And so I cut that up. 2 deer in 3 days, back to freezer. We're good to go for a little while. I'm going to get out and doe hunt again, you know, and see how that goes. But it won't be hunting real hard, not till gun deer season.
Now the pressure is off, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So I had an awesome time. Absolutely fantastic.
Well, that's great. Now, you you basically lost an arrow on that deer.
I mean, absolutely, I did, yes.
And you've missed a couple, so you must need arrows now, don't you?
I do, and you know what? Forge bow can provide that. I can go back and get the Slipstream 60s that I had before, and you can too. You go to 2900 South 166th Street. He's got. He actually moved from where he was. You may have known him about a couple blocks
He moved east is what he did, yeah.
You may have known he was a couple blocks west of where he's at now. He's got a bigger area where he assembles the bows, a bigger showroom, a larger shooting range, lots more storage, 166th in Cleveland in New Berlin. It's Forge, the Forge Bow Pro Shop. Same great service, same phone number, though, 414-732-7400 or forgebow.com for more details.
That's right. Well, your week was a lot more exciting than mine. I was doing that deer hunt show, which, by the way, is going to air on November 11th statewide. We'll mention it again in next week's show, and it's going to be an exciting show. I'm also looking forward to getting out and doing some salmon fishing on the Sheboygan River. I didn't have time last week because of the deer show commitment, but I intend to. And speaking of deer, we've got some more of those four packs of tickets to the Oshkosh Public Museum Wisconsin Deer Hunting Exhibit to give away. One winner who won the first time we gave some away called and said it was a great exhibit. He really appreciated it. He learned a lot, and he's a longtime deer hunter. So if you want to get in on that drawing, give us a call at 414-297-7554. 414-297-7554. Leave your name and phone number. Mention the Oshkosh Museum giveaway. And speaking of deer, also, there's not much time left now to sight in your rifle if you are planning to hunt during the gun deer season. McMiller Sports Center is your deer sight-in headquarters. They are under new management by Milford Hills Hunt Club, and they are open from now on through November.
Daily, which is big.
That's right.
You daily. Avoid the weekend rush and get it in.
Exactly. So get out there during the week before gun deer season. Get sighted in. You can check them out on the web at McMillerShootingCenter.com or call 262-594-5900.
Awesome show today. John Devney will join us. He's from Delta Waterfall out in North Dakota. Going to talk to us about the waterfall season that's happening now and tell us what we can expect for the continuing season. Pat Calverson of Wolfpack Adventures in Sheboygan will talk about his waterfall season. And we'll talk to Tim Landwehr from Tight Lines Fly Fishing Company in De Pere. We'll talk about the big brown, steelhead, salmon, and musky fishing with flies. All coming up on this week's show. More Outdoors Radio after this.
Hear that? Yeah, they're laughing at you. They're the fish that got away this year, and they're giving it to you good. Cedar Lake Sales hopes you'll remember these laughing fish and start thinking about next year. They're ready to deal on the boat you'll need to make next summer your best yet. How about this? A Crestliner 1650 fish hawk coupled with a powerful 60-horse Mercury for under $15,000. All-out pricing from them and instant rebates of up to $1,000 direct from Crestliner. Or this, a 2010 1600 Crestliner fish hawk with a 50-horse Mercury and a Shoreland trailer for $13,995. Then add in the instant rebate from Crestliner. Hey, only the strong survive. And that's Crestliner. Their aluminum fishing boats are built to last and stay consistently ahead of the pack. Add the power of Mercury outboard and you'll have a winning combination. Get to Cedar Lake Sales right now and get the deal you've been waiting for. Because nobody likes a smart aleck fish. Cedar Lake Sales, Highway 33 West Bend. Fish the net at cedarlakesales.com.
You wouldn't believe what I saw this morning from my deer stand.
Don't just tell me. Let the folks at the DNR know. Send in a Deer Hunter Wildlife Survey report. It's easy, and you'll get a report on what other hunters are seeing. Helps you know what's going on in your neck of the woods.
I don't know. Sounds complicated.
Not at all. Google Wisconsin DNR and click on Deer Hunter Wildlife Survey. They also want trail cam pictures, and they'll ID a critter in case you can't. Just don't bother sending the one of your dog when he got loose the other night. This message brought to you by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society, toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Dan Small here for my friends at Great Lakes Roofing Corporation. Great Lakes Roofing, winner of the Wisconsin Better Business Bureau's 2009 Torch Award, is a safety-conscious contractor that's growing, and that means they need to hire now. They're looking for professional men and women of integrity to apply for immediate openings in their Milwaukee, Madison, and Fox Valley offices. Great Lakes Roofing Corporation needs quality roofing, office, and sales professionals. If you excel in your field and want to grow along with them, log on to greatlakesroofing.net and click the Careers tab for more information.
Sure would love to do more deer hunting, but my freezer is full. Well, that shouldn't stop you. Go get a donation.
Nope, my daddy taught me never shoot more than you can eat.
I'm not telling you to waste time. Hunters and Herd Control, CWD, and many regular management units can shoot extra antlerless deer, including does, and donate the meat to a food pantry. It feeds the hungry, and you get to hunt.
Learn more about Wisconsin's venison donation program. Google Wisconsin DNR and search for venison donation. This message was brought to you by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources.
The law offices of Huthy and Abraham collects tens of millions of dollars each year for car accident clients. With offices throughout Wisconsin and Illinois, Huthy and Abraham and their knowledgeable staff will go wherever it takes and will do whatever it takes to represent you. If you have been in an accident and need serious and experienced representation, call Huthy and Abraham at 800-800-5678. That's 800-800-5678. Or visit them on the web at huppy.com. HUPY.com.
Hey, I'm Mariko Izumi, host of Hookin' Up on the World Fishing Network, and you're listening to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. I'm here with Jeff Kellum in the studio. And joining us by telephone is Tim Landwehr of Tightlines Fly Fishing Company up in De Pere, Wisconsin. Their website is tightlinesflyshop.com. Tim, how are you?
I'm doing well, Dan. How are you doing?
We're doing great. Now, I got your October newsletter, and although October is practically behind us, the message came across loud and clear was the fishing's been great, and it's going to get better. So tell us what you've experienced.
Well, I'll tell you what happens in the fall of the year. It's probably one of the, from a fly fishing resource, one of the least fish times of the year because everybody's minds are on grouse and deer and ducks.
Mm-hmm.
But what we see at this time of the year on both the bayside tributaries and the lakeside tributaries, we see a big migration of both steelhead, salmon, and big brown trout. And we're talking brown trout that will get up to, you know, potential of 20 pounds. And they'll be in the river all fall and well into the winter months.
Wow. Now, we know the salmon are up now. I've been after them a couple times, but they'll die and then they'll be gone. But the browns and steelhead are still there and accessible, you say?
Absolutely. Well, what will happen is we'll see the Chinook salmon, and then followed by those, we'll see some of the coho come in. But the Chinook, or the big browns, will spawn, and then apparently the rivers have enough in them that they will actually hold in these watersheds throughout the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And we've caught, you know, big browns, big seafoil and strain browns into March that had come in probably September to November.
Wow. Now, what rivers are you talking about?
Well, like the lower Menominee below the dam, the mm-hmm. Peshtigo River, the Oconto, and then, of course, the lakeside tributaries like the Manitowoc, the Kewaunee, the Sheboygan, all have good runs of these fish.
And mm-hmm. So you think the rain that's been happening will have a good impact on bringing more fish in?
A big positive. It might have a short-term downside to it from a standpoint. We might get a little bit of flooding, but that's what we need to get an influx of fresh new fish in.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do you fish these the holdover browns, the browns that have finished spawning and the steelhead that are in there?
Sure. Well, the browns and the steelhead can be fished fairly, you know, in similar techniques. And a lot of the guys around here will use spey rods or big, long, two-handed rods, but you can use a single-handed fly rod just as easily. But we'll be fishing big leech patterns, something that might range from 2 to 5 inches in length, maybe a little sink tip. Basically give them a piece of meat, you know, throwing big flies at mm-hmm. these fish to get their attention.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Now, I know you guys also fish for pike and muskies and bass, and
mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, my brother and son and I spent a couple of glorious days earlier in the month up in northern Wisconsin, and we actually boated 7 muskies in one day on flies that my brother ties. And I won't ask you what your best day is, but my brother said he'd never come close to that.
Now, nothing like that, Dan, but that's pretty impressive.
That was phenomenal. But the fly fishing for pike and muskies is still good.
Oh, it's fantastic. We just had organized a group trip, and you can kind of see the results on our website of that. But right now is prime time for catching a muskie on a fly. You know, those fish are putting the winter feed bag on,
mm-hmm.
and they're ready to go. You know, this is without question. October, November are the two prime months to go out and chase those toothy fish because they're going to eat a fly, and
now,
they'll do it real well. Last week we were out with that group, and we landed a 42 and a 45.
Wow. Now, we found that they were feeding heavily, and we thought that they might have been feeding on frogs. Of course, we didn't keep any fish, but every time we came to shore, we ran into green frogs and wood frogs that were coming to hibernate in the mud. And these muskies that we caught, most of them were very close to shore. Do you think they're doing that?
I would assume that's exactly what they're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, basically any fish, especially a predatory fish like that, is going to kind of key in on what's happening. And we ran into a similar instance with that while we were fishing up north by Hayward, or in Hayward, where we had a very big warm-up. It got to 75 degrees, and it got the frog's metabolic rate up a little bit, and there was a lot more activity. And strangely, we were fishing, you know, 5 and 6 inch long frog patterns, and that's what we caught some of those fish on.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Now, if folks want to fish with you, have you got some openings this fall?
We do. We have a couple of guides that stay on staff through the fall, and if they want to get a hold of us, they can call us at 920-336-4106 or check us out on our website and get all the information right there.
All right. Well, Tim, thanks for talking with us, and good luck in the rest of the fall. And, you know, I've been talking about this for a couple of years, but I am going to get out on the water with you one of these days.
Well, I'm going to hold you to it, Dan.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Tim.
Thank you.
That was Tim Landwehr of Tightlines Fly Fishing Company in De Pere, Wisconsin. Their website is tightlinesflyshop.com. More Outdoors Radio after this.
Hey, this is Red Green, and I listen to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small, and I'll tell you what, I'm not even a good listener.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. I'm here with Jeff Kelm, and our show is brought to you by Hupe and Abraham, a powerful law firm with a proven record of large settlements. You can find them on the web at hupy.com. We're talking with John Devney. He's the Senior Vice President of Delta Waterfowl, located in Bismarck, North Dakota. And, John, I understand you've been kind of doing a little bit of duck hunting and waterfowl hunting, and you have a pretty good idea of what's going on out there in the Dakotas.
Yeah, it's been an interesting fall. I've been out a fair bit, not nearly as much as I would like, but I'm sure that's not I'm not individual when it comes to that.
Join the club on that, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. But it's been a very interesting fall out here so far, gentlemen, and depending upon who you are, if you're a golfer, you're real happy with it. If you're a fisherman, you're real happy with it. If you're a waterfowl hunter, you may be less than happy with it. But we've, until very recently, we've been under a very prolonged stretch of high pressure, very mild temperatures, well above average temperatures. And what's fairly remarkable is we've had more days without wind than wind, which in this part of the world is fairly remarkable.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Now, folks here in Wisconsin are asking the big question, okay, when are those northern prairie birds coming our way? This weather we have this week have an impact on that?
I think it certainly will. What we've been seeing is a lot of the, there's been a lot of speculation, because I think a lot of experienced Dakota hunters have not seen the birds, gentlemen, that we frankly thought we were going to see based on the numbers of ducks we thought we produced here this year. And one of the main hypotheses to explain that is a lot of folks have come to the conclusion we lost a lot of our birds north this year with the extraordinarily wet conditions in Prairie Canada this year. The delay in the harvest, there is a remarkable amount of food in Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Alberta. And so consequently, we think we may have lost some birds that way. And also, we think that those birds are probably staying in some of those areas longer than they normally would. We have seen the migration of lesser Canada geese, which is sort of a staple for hunting out here, be delayed by at least 3 weeks from the historical sort of time frame. But we are seeing things now start to catch up, Dan. We're starting to see the diving duck species move. I'm hearing reports of ringneck ducks moving into Minnesota and northern Wisconsin. The lesser scaup appear to be moving. The redheads and canvasback appear to be moving. And so maybe things are going to start getting caught up here, especially in the wake of the weather that you referenced.
Might be more of a trickle type of effect, not so much of a mass type of issue.
Yeah, I think so. Which isn't uncommon when you get these sort of mild conditions. There are a lot of duck species that, you know, and it's hard to sort of measure, especially if you don't get to hunt as much as some. But if you you will see some of these duck species sort of move without any sort of visible weather clue, without a big drop in temperature. A lot of my friends out here in the Dakotas have seen had birds by the millions one day, and then birds very scarce the next, and moving with no wind, no front, no nothing. And that's not uncommon. We'll see those birds pick up and move on photo periods or some other cues, and go through that sort of trickle migration that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Now, some folks, in fact, a lot of folks here in Wisconsin travel to North Dakota and South Dakota to hunt ducks and geese and pheasants, of course, too. I've been out there last time was several years ago now, had a great hunt, but we had that kind of experience that you're talking about. One day we had mallards all over us, and the next day we were lucky to sneak up on a flock of snow geese, and that was our action. This is not uncommon, then.
No, it's very common. And, you know, for example, we hunted a place with a last Thursday, and it was just absolutely full of canvasback. But I'd be pretty hard-pressed to go to that lake today, and that was last Thursday. I'd be pretty skeptical that if I went back to that same lake, I'd see canvasback again. Those mm-hmm. canvasback are one of those species that moves on those photo period cues, and my guess is they'd be gone. Gadwall seem to move in and out on next to no weather. And even these mallards, it's really funny, even in areas where they're very lightly hunted, you think that there's no reason in the world for them to leave, and there'll be thousands of them around one day, and they will be gone tomorrow, just doing their thing, moving on, for God knows what reason that they're taking those cues and starting their migration.
Uh-huh. Now, you folks at Delta Waterfowl have put out a number of press releases regarding the migration. One of them that caught our attention was the one on snow geese. Now, that was back in September, but apparently at that time, the fall flight of snow geese looked to be bigger than usual and a lot of young birds, and that meant a lot of naive birds and good shooting. Has that panned out?
Based on the reports we've had out of Prairie Canada, it absolutely has. Guys are reporting really, really good hunting, especially in comparison to a year like last year where the hatch was way down. This year we had very early breakup in the Arctic breeding grounds for many of the primary Arctic breeding grounds for snow geese. Last year it was very, very late. This year it was very, very early. And that sort of seals your fate in terms of your fall flight of snow geese. So the reports that we were hearing from the experts that indicated we were going to have a strong fall flight have certainly seemed to pan out, at least to this point. Guys, primarily in Saskatchewan, but in southwestern Manitoba as well, have reported very good snow goose hunting. Now, of course, the challenge is that's been a little bit confounded by having a long streak of bluebird weather, and even young snow geese don't get fooled by flat rags in a stubble field in Saskatchewan. So, but even despite the sort of less than desirable weather folks have been having, they've been reporting really good snow goose hunting and a large percentage of juveniles.
Now, snow geese are, the bag is very liberal, and of course we have in a number of states the spring conservation season where basically it's no holds barred, and yet their population seems to be increasing over the last 20 years or so. What's going on with them?
Well, I think the goals of the spring conservation season have probably eluded us. I think the original authors of that and the original architects probably thought we were going to have a much greater ability to manage that population with harvest than we've been able to see to date. Now, it's not surprising to anybody that's hunted snow geese that, you know, they're not tuna, Dan. They don't just keep swimming into the nets. And we know that the harder you crank up hunting pressure on snow geese, the more difficult they are to hunt, and then consequently success rates go down on hunting, and your harvest rate probably is about a push. Now, with that being said, in a year like this year, this coming spring, where we're going to have lots of juveniles, That should bode for really, really good hunting and probably an increased harvest rate.
Uh-huh. Now, speaking of snow geese, some people disdain their taste. They say they taste like liver, but I've eaten them and I found them tasty. What's your experience?
My experience is totally contrary to those people. I think a lot of the reputation that waterfowl have are based on really old, old conceptions. I remember when I was a kid hunting at Lake of the Woods on the Ontario-Minnesota border, we used to shoot the occasional snow goose there, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And they were always in very poor condition, and they were likely had just made the big migratory push, and there wasn't a tremendous amount of grain in that part of the world, and those birds probably had a pretty tough living. When you shoot birds here anywhere in the prairies, especially in the spring, those birds are as fat and healthy and good to eat as virtually any bird you could possibly ever put in your mouth. I think those sort of notions are doing a great disservice to snow geese and probably are giving hunters the wrong impression, probably holding some hunters back from going out and enjoying snow goose hunting and enjoying snow geese on the table, because I find them to be fabulous table fare.
Well, I have found, too, that if you take care of the game, whatever it is, right away, you're going to get a better meal eventually. And I wonder if a pile of snow geese that sits there a couple days before somebody gets to dressing them, you know, there might be some problems in taste just with that.
Well, I mean, if you went out and shot a white-tailed deer and left it in the back of your truck for 2 days before you cleaned it, mm-hmm. it wouldn't be, or an elk or a moose or anything else. If you threw walleyes in the back of your pickup, they wouldn't be great eating either. And I agree. I think that sometimes guys may get into really good hunting for a couple of days, may not care for their game the way they might if they'd only shot a couple, and that might be sort of tainting their perspective on the birds.
Mm-hmm. Well, John, we want to ask you about predators and the study that you've done on them, but we've got to take a break here. We'll be back in just a minute, okay?
Sounds great.
You've been listening to Outdoors Radio. We'll be back right after this.
Dan Small here for my friends at Great Lakes Roofing Corporation. Great Lakes Roofing is growing, and that means they need to hire now. If you excel in your field and want to grow along with them, log on to greatlakesroofing.net and click the Careers tab for more information.
Hey archers, have you checked this year's regulations for where you hunt? There are some important rule changes for archers that you need to know about. First, are new restrictions on using the archery antlerless tag that came with your archery license. Second, after buying your license, you no longer have to wait 3 days to hunt. An archery deer license is good the moment you buy it. Lastly, have fun out there and think safety. Be careful around your deer stand. Tell someone where you are and when you'll be home.
This message brought to you by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources.
If you're heading off to deer camp, don't forget to pack the cooler, the sleeping bag, and your favorite snacks, but leave the firewood at home. You could be moving emerald ash borer in that wood, an insect that kills Wisconsin's ash trees. Get your firewood at your destination and make sure you use it up before you head home. So brush up on those deer camp jokes, get the cook stove in good shape, and don't forget the blaze orange, but leave the firewood behind. Visit banthebeetle.wy.gov for more information. A message from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture.
Here's a tip to help you savor the flavor of wild foods. Sportsmen know nothing beats the fresh taste of wild game or fish. And now, thanks to ZipVac's award-winning vacuum sealing system, your family can savor the flavor months longer by sealing out oxygen, the cause of flavor-robbing freezer burn. Just place the food in the bag, zip it shut, twist open the valve, remove the excess air with either the manual or rechargeable pump. Close the valve and put your ZipVac protected wild game in the freezer. It's that easy and that fast. The bags come in four sizes. They're freezable, microwavable, boilable, and they're dishwasher safe. Not only are they reusable, they cost less than the competition. How good is ZipVac? The International Tackle Trade Show picked ZipVac for the Best Fishing Accessory Award. And editors all over the country have been raving about ZipVac as the best of the best new products for outdoorsmen. Get the complete story at ZipVac.net. That's ZipVac.net. ZipVac.net.
The law offices of Huthy and Abraham collects tens of millions of dollars each year for car accident clients. With offices throughout Wisconsin and Illinois, Huthy and Abraham and their knowledgeable staff will go wherever it takes and will do whatever it takes to represent you. If you have been in an accident and need serious and experienced representation, call Huthy and Abraham at 800-800-5678. That's 800-800-5678. Or visit them on the web at huthy.com. HUPY.com.
Hey, buddy, know of any good places to fish around here?
Sure.
All right, let me have them.
Sure.
Are you going to tell me?
Sure.
A wise guy, huh?
I'm trying to tell you it's fall shore fishing time. The DNR has a list of 50 places you can fish from shore for trout, salmon, walleye, and bass, and they're all within 60 minutes of Milwaukee. Just go to the DNR website and search for fall fishing.
Hey, thanks, pal. Sure was nice talking to you.
This message brought to you by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources.
Dan Small here for my friends at Great Lakes Roofing Corporation. Great Lakes Roofing is growing, and that means they need to hire now. If you excel in your field and want to grow along with them, log on to greatlakesroofing.net and click the Careers tab for more information.
Hi, this is Captain Sig Hansen from the Deadliest Catch. You're listening to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small here with Jeff Kelm. We've been talking with John Devney. He's the Senior Vice President of Delta Waterfowl in Bismarck, North Dakota, talking about the fall flight of waterfowl coming through the Dakotas, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. And, John, we wanted to focus on predators for just a minute or two. I understand you folks have done some studies on the impact of removing predators from an area where ducks are nesting.
Yeah, it's been a real focus of Delta here going back, Dan, all the way to 1994. And you know, study after study after study previous to 1994 was confirming that nest success, the number of ducks that hatch each year, had declined drastically over historical times from the 30s to the 50s to the 70s to the 80s to the 90s. We were seeing nest success decline. And at that juncture, it was just inferred, and it's later been confirmed, that nest success is the most sort of vital population rate that prairie ducks face. And so despite sort of the wailing and gnashing of teeth from many people in the waterfowl conservation community, we initiated studies to evaluate the effectiveness of predator management to increase duck hatching rates. And we've got a lot of experience, Dan, going back all the way to 1994, measured the fate of tens of thousands of duck nests all over the prairies and prairie parklands of Canada, and have really proven in the right space and time, predator management is an extraordinarily cost-effective means of increasing duck production. The focus on the study that we conducted this year was evaluating the effectiveness of predator management in two distinct landscapes, one being sort of areas with very scarce nesting cover in northeastern North Dakota, in areas of the Canadian parklands that have been plagued with chronically low nest success and duck production for decades. And when we talk about the Canadian parklands, Dan, anybody would do backflips to see 10% nest success, meaning a 90% nest loss in prairie Canada. I mean, those, and many of those areas are well under 5%.
Wow.
So those are the landscapes that we're focusing on to test the efficacy of predator management currently.
And what predators are we talking about?
The primary predators, you know, in the predators wax and wane between sites, between years, but generally, the big predators for nesting ducks are raccoons, skunks, badgers in some areas, and red fox. Now, red fox have been very, very, very near absent from our sites in North Dakota and South Dakota over the last few years. But they are probably the most efficient and effective duck predator out there. That red fox, research has confirmed that red fox have killed up to about 900,000 nesting hens each year when they're abundant. So they are very lethal duck predator. And coyotes in some areas, Franklin's ground squirrels in some areas, but primarily the three big ones historically are raccoons, skunks, and red fox.
And what do you do to improve nesting success? On a study area, you can trap them out, I suppose, but on a large scale, like one of the big marshes here in Wisconsin, Horican Marsh, you pretty much have to encourage trappers, don't you? I mean, people to go out and get the fur?
Well, the way we do it is we contract with professional trappers, and we trap very large sites. The sites in North Dakota are 36 square mile sites that we're managing. That's 23,040 acres. The sites in Manitoba, because the predator community is a little different, it's a little harder to trap. Those study sites are smaller, 16 and 25 square mile sites respectively. But those are still large blocks of habitat, and even in a marsh like Horicon, you know, these are big areas that we can effectively manage through trapping to increase duck nest success.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, John, we appreciate your taking some time to talk with us and wish you success with the remainder of your waterfowl season, and send some birds our way.
We'll do it. We're hoping to send some as we speak.
All right. Thanks a lot, John.
Thank you.
That was John Devney. He is Senior Vice President of Delta Waterfowl in Bismarck, North Dakota. Their website is deltawaterfowl.org. And this portion of our show brought to you by Hupie and Abraham, a powerful law firm with a proven record of large settlements, on the web at hupie.com.
Well, let's get more of a local perspective on the waterfowl hunting, brought to you by the Ruffed Grouse Society, 50 years of managing forest habitat for wildlife, on the web at ruffedgrousesociety.org. We've got Captain Pat Kalmerton of Wolfpack Adventures. And, Pat, you guys have been out waterfowl hunting the last number of weeks. I've been following a couple of your guys on Facebook. They seem to be having some successful runs. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, the season's been fairly decent so far. We're seeing some birds coming down through every time we have a north wind. And, you know, they're sticking around because we have a north wind, and then it turns around. And we have a couple of days that we have south and west winds. And we've been seeing some divers. We've been seeing some mallards, getting a few canvasbacks and pintail, gadwall. So we're seeing a wide variety of birds.
Now, when the wind turns around and goes from the south, they don't start headed back the other way, do they?
No. lucky for us, they kind of stick around. They kind of mill around, hit the rivers, hit the marshes, go back and forth from lakes, and they just kind of, you know, jump puddle to puddle, I guess, and,
sure,
you know, try to find some food sources now that most of the fields are off.
Right.
Now, you know, I was supposed to hunt with you a few days ago out on Lake Michigan or Green Bay. Where did you guys go for that open water hunting?
We are actually up in Green Bay, down in the bay itself, on the protected side, and we did well. You know, we were kind of jumping all over from Suamico down in the bay all the way up to Dykesville, and even actually up in the little Sturgeon itself, and we had a couple of days up there. We did very successful, and we enjoyed it.
What kind of birds? Did you find some bluebills?
Yeah, we got some bluebills. We got some scoters. We didn't. I seen very little buffies. I didn't see any old squaw yet, but I'm sure they're going to be coming down here.
Mm-hmm. So. Now I got to be honest. I'm not a waterfowl hunter at all. Are these nicknames for birds? I mean, these for some reason it doesn't quite seem like the technical terms.
Yeah. Yeah, bluebills is actually a broad term for the diving duck. There's actually a couple of different ducks that fall under that category. Scoters are completely different. And then you have, you know, with those, when you're hunting layouts, you can get some old squaw, you can get some mergansers, you can get some eiders, or even, And, you know, it's one of them where you get a wide variety, but the thing is, when you're laying on your back, you're going in and out of the waves, you know, you want a little choppier weather when you're doing so. So it's extremely, I guess, you got to be cautious because you can only, you know, your bag limit is only two bluebills. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, once you get bigger flocks coming in or whatever and you pull two, that's why it's so important to have a chase boat. Go get your birds right away. That way you know exactly what you're shooting. You don't take advantage or, I guess, break the laws.
Right. And, of course, if you're with a guide, your guide should know. But, you know, every waterfowler ought to carry that little guidebook. I've got a couple copies of it that have birds in flight, and you can see their wing patterns that have the, you know, different marks on them. And most of the time you can identify them. But I'll bet even you once in a while get a bird in hand and you kind of scratch your head. Is that a hen bluebill? Is that a ring-neck duck? What is that?
That's about it. You know, you do have the waterfowl identification guides, and, you know, you want to make sure that you have a copy of that when you go on out. But most importantly is look at those before you hit the field. That way you can kind of identify, or you should be able to identify before you go. A lot of the guides, especially ourselves, when you're sitting, on the marshes and everything else, you'll kind of call them out as they're in the air and mm-hmm. say, you know, Drake second from the left and, you know, kind of do that thing. You got to be careful there as well because you're only allowed one mallard, you know, one canvas back, or one hen mallard,
right.
excuse me,
right.
one canvas back. So there are those laws that you should be able to identify bird before you come in. And, you know, it helps when a gadwall is coming, you know. When you know that spectrum, you know exactly what a gadwall looks like instead of pulling up on a flock. And, you know, hopefully, luckily, you drop more than one. And, you know, that way you know the difference between, like, especially a gadwall and a hen mallard and, mm-hmm. you know, things like that.
That's good information to have. Now, do you guys have openings yet available for going out hunting with you?
Yeah, we do. We have quite a few openings. We're running a couple of different boats now, and we also do field hunting for the geese. So we definitely stay busy. We do a morning hunt, an afternoon hunt. So it's one of them where there are openings. You know, weekends are starting to fill up pretty good here in November, but we certainly have some openings left.
All right. Well, I hope for a great season for you guys, and best of luck.
Well, we're looking forward to it as time goes on here. Hopefully, more and more birds come down. So,
all right. Captain Pat Calverton of Wolfpack Adventures. Find them online at wolfpackadventures.com. This portion of today's show brought to you by the Rough Grouse Society. 50 years of managing forest habitat for wildlife on the web at roughgrousesociety.org. We'll be back with more Outdoors Radio after this.
Available now in stores and dealers near you, Ironclad soft bait brands. As seen at major trade shows and used by pros and anglers like you worldwide, Ironclad soft baits are taking the sport fishing industry by storm.
Discover why Ironclad's won the overall Best in Show Award at the Chicagoland Outdoor Show and why Popular Science Magazine named Ironclad's one of the top 10 inventions of the year.
Take it from Billy Appling, co-angler of the year in the American Bass Anglers Grand Slam Series, who says Ironclad baits give him the competitive edge to win tournaments day in and day out.
Or take it from Thomas Jones, national champion of the American Bass Anglers Fishing Tour, who says he caught 16 bass on one Ironclad lure in 3 hours. Anglers, ask for Ironclad soft bait brands at your store and dealers near you.
Discover why nearly indestructible Ironclads are ushering in the soft bait revolution. Available online at buyironclads.com. That's buyironclads.com.
Dan Small here for my friends at Great Lakes Roofing Corporation. Great Lakes Roofing, winner of the Wisconsin Better Business Bureau's 2009 Torch Award, is a safety-conscious contractor that's growing, and that means they need to hire now. They're looking for professional men and women of integrity to apply for immediate openings in their Milwaukee, Madison, and Fox Valley offices. Great Lakes Roofing Corporation needs quality roofing, office, and sales professionals. If you excel in your field and want to grow along with them, log on to greatlakesroofing.net and click the Careers tab for more information.
If you're heading off to deer camp, don't forget to pack the cooler, the sleeping bag, and your favorite snacks, but leave the firewood at home. You could be moving emerald ash borer in that wood, an insect that kills Wisconsin's ash trees. Get your firewood at your destination and make sure you use it up before you head home. So brush up on those deer camp jokes, get the cook stove in good shape, and don't forget the blaze orange, but leave the firewood behind. Visit banthebeetle.wi.gov for more information. A message from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture.
The Midwest's largest fishing website, LakeLink.com, is your online fishing resource. 90% of LakeLink's features are yours to use free of charge. Members get access to LakeLink's online lake map library that lets you get GPS coordinates of any spot on the lake and export waypoints to your onboard electronics. Members also get free outdoor classified ads, discount on online store merchandise, and much more. Outdoors Radio listeners can save $5 on a new or renewal membership. Simply enter promo code DAN when you set up your membership account. That's promo code DAN. You can listen to Outdoors Radio 24/7 on LakeLink. Listen to this week's show, catch any of our past shows, subscribe to our podcast, or sign up for our weekly e-newsletter so you'll know in advance what's coming up. Just type in keyword radio. See what you've been missing. Log on to lake-link.com today. That's lake-link.com.
Hi, this is Dave Zien, former state senator, otherwise known as the Million Mile Motorcycle Man. And you're listening to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
again for joining us on Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Cedar Lake Sales on Highway 33 West in West Bend, on the web at cedarlakesales.com, and by Ironclads, the soft bait revolution, on the web at buyironclads.com. Time to find out what's coming up on Outdoor Wisconsin this next week.
Well, Jeff, next week I'll be hiking the North Country Trail up in Douglas County. Now, that trail goes all the way from the East Coast into the Dakotas, but there's a good portion of it here in Wisconsin. And this is a segment, an expanded segment from our National Parks documentary that aired earlier this year. Mm-hmm. And, it, in fact, a portion of that trail is the public thoroughfare, which is in longest continual use anywhere in North America. Mm. The Voyagers and Native Americans were walking on it, and the trail is a couple feet deep, rutted by centuries of people walking it with moccasins. Cool. It's really neat. It's really neat. Judy Nugent is fishing for trout in La Crosse County with Matt Wagner of the Driftless Angler in Viroqua, which, by the way, is the home of our one of our network stations, WVRQ, and our archival segment from 2005, the training session for instructors in the National Archery in the Schools program.
Awesome. A couple of hunting and fishing seasons to let you know about. Lake trout season closes on Lake Michigan October 31st. Woodcock season closes November 8th. November 9th, morning dove season closes. November 20th, gun deer season opens. And November 23rd, duck season closes in the northern zone.
You know, I don't think we have to tell anybody that November 20th is the opening day.
But
people still have to remember to get their rifle sighted in. And if you have a rifle with a new scope or you haven't fired it in since last year, boy, don't leave yourself out without checking.
I did that one year.
Oh, I've done it.
I did it one year, and I missed a deer, and I go ahead, and I did a practice shot at a target at about 130 yards is what I set it up at, and I was down about 4 inches and off to the right. I got the scope knocked at some point the following season.
Now, at the very least, you pull the bolt if you got a bolt action and bore sight it, but that does not substitute for actually sighting in. And the place to do it is McMiller Sports Center in the Kettle Moraine near Eagle. They have a 50-yard, 100-yard, 300-yard range. You can sight in a shotgun, a muzzleloader, or a rifle. And they have a professional staff that can bore sight your rifle and actually do the sighting in for you if you want them to do it. So check them out. They are open daily from now through the right up until gun season. The 19th will be the last day. And then if you're not sighted in by then, you're on your own, pal.
It's true.
That's
hey,
right.
We appreciate your attention. But if you missed any of the dates, websites, phone numbers, people, places, or things we talked about today, you can find us online 24/7 at lake-link.com/radio or at hardwater-angler.com, or look for it this week's newsletter at dansmalloutdoors.com with the picture of my buck included.
Of course.
Got to brag about that a little bit.
Yeah.
We're also on Twitter, Facebook, theradiofactory.com, and links to everything at dansmalloutdoors.com.
And this week's giveaway, speaking of deer, we're deer heavy this week, but that's okay. 4 family packs of 4 tickets to the Oshkosh Public Museum Wisconsin Deer Hunting Exhibit. And to get in on the drawing, call 414-297-7554. Leave your name and number. Mention the Oshkosh Museum giveaway. Well, folks, you've been listening to Outdoors Radio, and we're glad you have. And our show is brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource. They're on the web at lake-link.com. By Hupie and Abraham, a powerful law firm with a proven record of large settlements. They're on the web at hupie.com. And by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, on the web at dnr.wi.gov. I'm Dan Small, here with Jeff Kelm. Join us again next week for Outdoors Radio.
In the blue north wind, I'll be trolling home to you. When my wrist gets a little chilly on the gunwale, when my lazy ack is just too lazy to lure, when the worms go dry in the coffee can, honey, I'll be